Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Year of grace and mercy, and I told you in that particular order. The Lord said in 2016, the bottom line is that God needs you. How many know when you listen to the news, what's going on today, there is definitely, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're in a place right now where I believe, as I'll share again, God is about ready to move on his church out of this religious exercise kind of thing where we're going through just the in rote, let's just say it that way. But as we see that the times are getting darker, situations that are happening, that's when the Lord says, I'm about ready to pour out my spirit. And we've seen that throughout this year. And pastors all over the land, I've been doing this for almost 35 years now. And when the spirit begins to move to the prophets and they begin to share a common direction, then we know that there's something in the making. How many want to be involved with that? Well, most of you do. How many people know that you are involved with it, whether you want to or not? How many know that even now there are divine opportunities and appointments that are being set up for you? And Lupe will testify to the fact there's no high like the Most High, right? Being used by the Lord to be able to encourage someone, I tell you, there's nothing you can drink, smoke, stick, or whatever that can influence you, that because once you start, you can't stop, right? So we're looking for this revival to be unfold. I said that in the darkest times, that's when the light shines the brightest. Turn to somebody and say, you're the light. He's about ready to do that. We looked at essentials for ministry. Also, how to release the anointing of ministry through your life. And we also looked at how to release and to minister to other people. And we told you, you don't have to have a theological degree to have Jesus use you, right? Remember what I've told you, dumbing it down as much as I possibly can, the three things about ministry. All you have to do is remember those three words, act, feel, say. Everybody say that, act, feel, say. What does that mean in terms of ministry? Whatever the situation that you find yourself in, act like Jesus would act. Feel inside what he would feel for that situation, and then say what you would feel he would want you to say. Jesus loves you. Nobody turns that down. They might run away from you, but there is a sense of just knowing that people are looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's why they call this good news, right? We've got good news. Jesus loves you. And he's got an incredible thing for your life, a plan for your life. That's an awesome ministry. It's better than quoting scripture. And I also say, just as that review, you don't have to be this, as I said, a theologian. All you have to do is share what you know about Jesus from your experiences. And I've also told you that the greatest challenges that we have in life, that we faced in life, become your platform for ministry. So those challenges are not there to destroy us. They're brought to us to reveal who we are and who Jesus is. That's why it's never over till he says it's over. Amen? And he hasn't said it's over. Turn to somebody and say, there's more. I'm happy for that too. We also looked at, in this process, how to stop robbery in your life. Personal protection. How do we deal with the powers of the enemy? Let me tell you something. The enemy is alive and well on planet Earth. And every aspect, I'll talk to you some more about that, but we are not to be ignorant of his devices. And we fight not against the flesh, but against principalities and powers and everything that's trying to rob your day or your family or your job or your health. We also looked at how to deal with spiritual warfare in others. We have been called to set the captive free. And one of the greatest ways of setting the captive free is to say, Jesus loves you. Or can I pray for you? The enemy can't stand against that. That's why we say, this is the word. This is my sword. It's a weapon against the enemy. You can't out-talk the enemy. You can't out-psychologicalize him. You can't take pills to get rid of him. There's only one way, and that's by the authority of God and his word. And you have been given. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But how to deal with other people, and that's called ministry. We've looked at the power of grace. The power of grace for ministry. And I said that it's important that understanding grace is the key to receiving the Lord's provision and living in his overcoming life. It's not an optional kind of thing. And most people, as we've been discussing, have no idea what grace was, what it is. And for those who do know, like we've been teaching on, hear it again, because the message is never going to change. It's always about this. Understanding grace will enable you to see who you are and live victoriously in your ministry and destiny. The definition of grace is what we saw: the unmerited, undeserved, unearned gift of God's favor and blessing, released through the completed sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And then through the believer to continue the ministry on earth. Jesus was filled with grace, and his ministry was to release that grace. And that's what we've been called. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witness. We looked at releasing or speaking God's grace. And we told you that speaking grace into your situation is as important as seeing your prayers answered. Very, very important. All you got to do when your car runs out of gas is speak grace to it and then get a gas can. Because there's more that we do. But first of all, release the Lord into that situation. And I tell over the years in counseling couples in their marriage relationship, the first thing that you want to do, the argument, anybody ever had arguments in their marriage? How many people are really good at it? There's an answer to it. First of all, it's very hard for two to become one. In fact, it's impossible outside of God. Amen or oh me? So what happens in that, what you need to do as you've committed your marriage relationship to the Lord is what you do is you say, stop, honey, let's stop the yelling or whatever, accusing or whatever it might be, the contention, and let's just say grace, grace, grace to our relationship. Grace. It's amazing what happens. Now, if you want to argue, I tell the husband, you go in that room, close the door. You go in that room and close the door. Carry on your conversations. Because when you're not hearing, don't talk. Right? And when I always say, if a person does not hear, don't speak. So if you're in an argument and all you want to do is get your point across, and he wants, she wants to get her point across, and you're both talking at the same time, the point's not getting across. But taking that moment of saying, honey, we need to get God into this. Praying for my children, my grandchildren, for work, your job situation. I would not dare step out of my office without coming together in agreement with my wife. We've been married for a long time. Long time, long time, a long, long time. And I found that the most powerful entity on the face of this earth is a husband and wife gathering together in prayer. Praying, you don't have to go into some religious exercise. Oh, thou most mightiest God on heaven above. And I'm sure the Lord says, will you please talk English? You talk to God. I'm dealing with a couple right now, and they're new Christians. And I'm teaching them how to pray. And it's amazing how intimidating that is. I told her that one after we had a number of meetings, it's premarital counseling. And I said, now I want you to pray. And the lady said, okay, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for this relationship. Amen. Fantastic. And I told the guy, I said, now you pray. And he turned three shades of purple. No, I talk. That's all prayer is. Two agree, touching anything. And if you're not married, get with another Christian. Agree together with God's word and watch what happens. We get God into speaking grace. Remember, God did not think about the world into existence. He spoke it. And it's just like saying, I love you. How often do you say that to your kids, to your mate, to your friends? I love you. I never end an email without blessings and I love you. Releasing that, speaking that word, it's like the husband and wife been married for 20 years and came into a pastor's office, and she says, he never tells me, I love you. He never says that to me. He says, why should I? I almost climbed over the desk, and she almost knocked him off a chair. He said, I told you that I loved you when we were married. Nothing's changed. How many know encouragement? The ladies like encouragement. Right, that? And the ladies say amen. And we, I told you this, it's not I'm doing so many counseling sessions, premarital and all the rest of it. So I know it would come out. This is not a marriage session this morning. But when we understand that the Holy Spirit is wanting to be activated through us, then we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Speaking grace into that situation. Honey, I love you. To the kids, we love you. You are absolutely awesome. And getting that affirmation. So for those that are listening online, all the rest of you, speak up. No longer holding your peace. The importance of the importance of releasing grace. And Acts chapter 1, we saw that one of the things, the steps of importance is seeing breakthrough in our lives. So very, very important. It releases breakthrough. And we said that breakthrough was something like a log jam in your life. How many people are facing challenges? How many people are going to raise your hand no matter what I say? I got you to do it that time. Log jams, challenges. We as Christians don't look at the challenges the way the world does. We look at them as opportunities. And I'm going to keep saying it until you get it. Thank the Lord in the challenges, it says. Not for them, but in them. Because if, as you're walking in God's will, as you are approaching the situations of life, those situations are divinely orchestrated for you to receive something out of it. I don't think anybody's listening to me this morning. Say, yes, I agree.
Amen.
It's a situation that we realize that the challenges of life are there to teach us about something there. If it were not something that we needed to know about, then God doesn't want to put us in, have challenges for nothing. And the biggest challenges that you have, and I told you, and I learned it, The biggest challenges that you have in your life become the, and watching God do his thing through you instead of running away from it, those are the very things that become your ministry tools. I would never have want to go through, and I mentioned it last week, in my mind, to have cancer. But it has become one of the greatest revelations I had of the Lord. Your God's grace is in direct proportion to your challenge. In direct proportion. So we recognize this. If we can believe, Mark says, everything is possible to you. In order to release breakthrough, you have to receive the power of God. You have to receive and live in the power of God. I'm going to be talking more about that, this area, as we started last week. We saw the power of God is in order for us to release breakthrough, we must receive and live in the power of God. The Lord did not intend us to be normal, right? He calls us weird or peculiar people. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're the ones that go around with a smile on our face when everybody else is hangdog. We know, I said before, God knows the end from the beginning. He knows all the situations in our life. And he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never turn away from you. I'm there in the midst of the challenge that you're facing. And all you got to do is ask me. He does not pressure us. I've had people go through the problem and say, you know, I've got all these challenges. And I said, have you prayed? Have you asked God? No. It's like having the greatest whatever tool in your tool case that fixes everything. And we never take it out. What we're developing is that relationship with God that he becomes the first. He's the source. He's the one. He's the go-to person, right? And everything that we do, Lord, what is your situation in this? What would you have? He wants us to live dynamically, to live life as an overcomer, not being overcome. To deal with the situations in that way, to not just make it through, but abound in every area, and to experience every breakthrough in every area of change. Challenges. The only way this is accomplished is to move in the power of God. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. If you accepted Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God in you. Do you know that? Everywhere you go, the Spirit of God goes with you. That Spirit, by the way, the Word says, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is within you. Now, what's your problem? Jesus Christ was risen from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. What's your challenge? In every situation that we face, the Spirit of God is wanting us to reach out and say, help me, Lord, or give me wisdom, Lord, or help us at our request. Miracles, is available to every spirit-filled Christian. Miracles, signs, and wonders are supposed to be a part of on a regular basis. Unless we lay hold of this provision, we will never fully receive what the Lord has for us and through us. Much of that breakthrough only comes through power encounters. I said that the definition we looked at last week was power definition, ability to do or act. Capability of accomplishing something, a person or thing that possesses or exercises authority or influence, the ability or capacity to perform or act effectively. It means strength, force, and energy. That's the definition of power. We looked at why we needed to understand the power of God in grace. How to defeat the enemy. I'm not going to go through them again, but it establishes the kingdom of God. What we want to do today, I want to look at how to release the power of God through your life. How many people would like to know the answer to that? My position as a teacher is not just to give you information, but to get information into you so that you can use it. How to release the power of God through your life. Let's look at part one. First of all, let me come back and deal with it so that you understand from the biblical perspective. There are three descriptions of power in the New Testament, in the original language. We define that in our Bible, in our English, we define each one of those things, we use the word power. Power. But when you look at the original language, that word that we use for power for all three is actually three different names, three different types. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit. That's one time. Let me show you what in the original language. Everybody say exousia. You're speaking Greek right now. Some people with it from the south say exousia. That's southern Greek. Exousia is delegated and legal right. It means you shall receive, you can say the word, you shall receive authority. The next one is isthus. Everybody say isthus. It's power that energizes. How many people have been down, get discouraged, whatever, and all of a sudden you turn on the music or start worshiping the Lord, all of a sudden there's just a refreshment that comes to you. If you haven't experienced that, try it. You'll like it. Just absolutely just felt like you just took a shower, whatever you did. That energizing power. So if you're running low, get into the Lord's presence and say, Lord, I'm just asking for a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and just, there's a sense of just, and it with that, it lifts the challenges that we have. The next one is the word dunamis. Everybody say dunamis. This is explosive miracle working power of God, enablement. Jesus said, I give you power over the enemy. That's what he says. That word power is the word authority. It's the word exousia. I have given you authority over the enemy. You do not have enough power to deal with the enemy. The best way to describe what exousia is, and I've told the story, maybe you've heard it, hear it again. You have this big semi driving down the road, right? And the policeman steps out in front of it to make it stop. How many of you know that policeman's going to be a hood ornament unless something else is going on? What he does, he takes that badge on his chest and he says, stop. And he has the backing of the entire police department. And that driver knows that he has the right to pull him over and to stop him. That is the word authority. The power of that truck, the policeman has no power to deal with the size of that truck. But he has the authority to stand and say, in the authority of this badge, you must stop. That's what we have. We do not have a power enough to destroy the powers of the enemy, but we do have authority to say, you cannot steal from me any longer. You can't affect this family any longer. Spirit of sickness, you cannot continue to dwell. I have authority over you. And in that process, the enemy, according to God's word, he must listen. He must. Now the word dunamis, as I said, I'm going to deal with that. Dunamis, power. It means explosive. Go on your notes. A dynamic force. Miracle working power of God. Supernatural might. A boldness. Power that can dislodge any stronghold of unbelief. You shall receive power. You have received power. It's whether or not we use it or not. I've told you before, there is nothing on this earth that is greater than you in agreement with God. You and God are a majority. So if you're having problems at work, if you're having problems with your children, or whatever the situation is, God says, I give you the ability to be able to speak into that situation and release the power of God to resolve it. Power that can dislodge any stronghold of unbelief. I chose that to put that at the last point because it's very, very important. I pray, Paul says this, that you would come to understand, listen, he's talking to you, the incredible power that is available for those who to believe. It's the same power, same release of his mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. This is the key to dealing with God's power. The power to believe. Jesus said, if you can believe, everything is possible for him. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. The key issue is what? If you can what? Believe. The key to releasing the power of God, getting your prayers answered, is to believe. And that's where people have the greatest problem. They tell me to do something, Pastor. Tell me to do something in order to make this thing happen. And that's what mankind does. We want to be able to do some exercising, something to make it happen. The Lord says, no, 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 no. All I want you to do is to believe. And like in Scripture, a man came up to him and said, Jesus said to him, you can have if you believe. And what did he say? Lord, help my unbelief, or help me to believe. I'm going to show you, according to God's word, that not only he tells us to believe, but he gives us the ability to be able to do it. How many believe that God answers prayers? How do you believe? How can you say that? Because you've had prayers answered. How many people believe that God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you? Because we've experienced that. How many people believe that God is a God of miracles? Right? How many people have ever believed God for miracles? How many people have been used by God to release miracles? Anybody? Glad you made it. How many people, let me ask that question again. How many people have been used by God to release miracles? What Lupe did this last week was releasing a miracle. We never know what that person was involved with. But as I told you this before, Jesus didn't go into the towns preaching the gospel. That was the second part. He went in doing miracles. And he says to us, to you, even greater things than I have done will you do. Only do what? Believe. And you want something abstract. That is so abstract. It's just like, now on the just like faith, you can't grab a hold of faith. Now, when I count three, on the count of three, I want you to believe, okay? One, two, three. Everybody believe? Yeah. You can't just sit and believe. You have to apply it to something. in the process of recognizing, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. There was no question in God's part, in God's word, that there was any other than the answer to prayer. There was no, it was a done deal. Simply believe. And a couple weeks ago, we had a baby dedication, child dedication, and I told you about my grandkids. They believe. They believe. I had Caden pray for me with my cold that his brother gave to me. And he went up, put his hand on me, which I thought was cool. He said, in Jesus' name, God, make dad better. And I'll tell you, I still snuffled and snorted, but I felt fantastic. They believe. And unless we come like a child, as a child, with all our complications, with all our intelligence, all we do is muddy the water. You know, Christianity, the Bible says, my yoke, my ways are simple, easy. And we make it complicated, don't we? And one of the issues that complicates is the understanding of what it means to believe. And I feel very strongly, after seeing it happen hundreds of times, that the only way that you can believe in someone is if you trust them. I believe because I trust God. And because I've read the Word of God and He says that I want you to believe me. Therefore, one of the greatest obstacles to mankind, and the reason why Jesus came down, is because of their what? Unbelief. And He says, now I'm giving the Holy Spirit to you so that you can believe that I'll turn down no good request. And if you have to, grab one of your little kids, or I'll wrench you mine, grandkids. Believe, it means to place confidence in, to accept as truth. Don't convince me with the facts. I've made up my mind. It means to have faith in. I like to tell the story about this, and you've heard it. Now, we have all kinds of people listening online. About what does it mean to have faith? Well, I like to use this word picture. Remember, for those who have heard it, if you knew, there was a tightrope walker. Remember the story? When I heard it the first time, I said, that's perfect. I'm going to use that 100 times in my ministry. And he went to Niagara Falls. How many people have been to Niagara Falls? How many people have seen Niagara Falls? Good. I've been there. It's awesome. Awesome. And he stood on the American side, and he gathered up a big crowd, and he says, tomorrow I am going to walk across this gorge. And everybody went, whoa. Then he went over to the Canadian side, and he told all the Canadians, tomorrow I am going to walk across this gorge. And I said, whoa. Well, to speed the story up, he puts a steel cable, runs it from one side to the next with his crew. And he goes out. And he's walking across the thing. He makes it to the other side, turns around, comes back. Halfway, starts doing different tricks. Bouncing up and down, laying down, holding his pole, whatever. He walks over to the American side. Over in the corner, there's a wheelbarrow. He gets on, he puts the wheelbarrow on the cable, and he pushes it out. And he sits in the wheelbarrow. And he gets out of the wheelbarrow. Does a bunch of other tricks. Pushes the wheelbarrow back to the American side. Everybody's, oh. He says, do you believe? Do you believe that I can do this? And everybody says, yeah, we believe it. You know what he said next? Somebody get in the wheelbarrow. To believe is getting in the wheelbarrow. A lot of times what we want to do is stand on one of the sides of the thing and say, we believe you, God. We believe you, God. We have faith in you, God. He says, then get in the wheelbarrow. Whatever wheelbarrow you are that happen to be dealing with, when you approach it with God, he says, I got the handles here. Do you believe that I can protect you? Do you believe that I care for you? Do you believe that I'll never leave you or forsake you? Do you believe I am who I say I am? Yes, Lord, in church, it's wonderful. In the quiet times of our things, when everything, we're in Carmel and everything's just going wonderfully. I believe you, Lord. And then we come back to San Jose or wherever it is. First thing that happens, a challenge. He said, do you believe me? And we go, yes, but how about whatever? He says, do you believe me? Yes, Lord, I do. Then don't worry. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. Believe me when I say that I will help you and I will guide and direct you. Getting in the wheelbarrow. As I said, it's very easy to stand on the corner, or stand on the side and say, God, I believe you. You're a great God. And if I said to you right now, everybody raise your hand who believe in God. Everybody would, yes, Pastor, I raise my hand. I believe in God. But I want you to know that believe is a physical word. It may seem abstract, but believe has a manifestation to it. And believing in God, the manifestation of belief, you know what it is? Peace. Peace. Colossians 5:18 says, allow the peace of Christ to reign in your heart. When you believe God, the peace of Christ can reign in your heart. That means to be an umpire. When you have doubt, when you have questions, when you have fear, you can't. It's an outward expression of unbelief to depend upon, to have confidence in. Let me just tell you something. The key to releasing God's power in your life and through your life is believing. If you can believe, everything is possible. God gives and increases our power to believe. That's what I'm going to be talking about. Next week, the Lord willing, the ability to believe. There is an anointing to believe. There is a special release of God's favor and grace for you to believe. And he says, not only do I want you to believe, I'm going to give you the ability to be able to do it. How about that for good news? God never requires of us, listen, this is the way God is. God never requires of us something that he doesn't give us the ability to do. Lucas, he's a trip. And if you blink, he's gone. And what he does, it's almost impossible to get him out of the car. If he gets in that car through soft-hearted dad, you can't get him out. And he changes all the knobs, everything, the lights, everything. And I go in one side, he runs to the other side. I mean, he'll hold on to the steering wheel. You can't pull him loose. Right? Those who know, know. Now, how foolish would it be for me to give him the keys? Because he wants them, and he knows where to put them, and I guarantee you he can turn it. I told you that I walked into April and Adam's house and came in, then went to go outside, and the handle's off the door. There's no handle on the front door. I said, "What? Where's your handle?" He says, "We have to take it off because Lucas goes outside." How, if I sat down, gave him the keys, say, "I want you to drive," he would try. But I couldn't expect him to do that because he doesn't have the ability. And if I'm a good dad, and I love him, I would never require of him something to do something that he didn't, that I didn't help him to do. And that's the way it is with the Lord. He says, "My key, the key to what we're talking about is believing." And next week, you can come. Where's April? Okay. What I'm going to do and be sharing with you for next week is how to receive the ability from God to believe what you're asking him for, what he wants you to believe in. How many people are believing God for some big things? How many, in the midst of that belief, everybody's at peace, we're at joy, we're enjoying it, we're saying, "Wonderful God, I have no doubt"? Or are we saying, "I believe you, God, I really do"? And you look down in your hand, there's white knuckles, holding on to something because you, let me tell you something. God's a God of love. He says, "Believe in me." Watch what we can do together. Watch what we can do together. And nothing will be impossible for you. I believe in God. All of you do too. But the reason my faith in God may be different than your faith in God is because of the experiences that I've had with God. Those experiences are what cause me to believe. In the midst of those situations, sometimes it's challenging. Amen? But from experience, that God has never let us down. He'll never let us down, as we sang. I approach the situations of life. God wants us believing that God says, "You can do all things through me who strengthens you." And I want you, just like when little Lucas or all the rest of them, Caden, Aiden, Ryson, when they do things, and they know, whether they're praying or picking their toys up or whatever it might be, and they do it right, it makes me feel absolutely awesome. And I'm proud of them, and I love them, and I yada, yada, yada. When I talked about Aiden last week, and I'm talking about Caden, when he said to me, Dad, I love you to the back and moon." I was speechless. "I love you to the back and moon." And I went, wow. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. And that's the way God takes pride in us. And when we believe, it pops his buttons. Amen? Bow with me as we close. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your abounding grace. We acknowledge, Lord, your goodness. I pray, Father, that anointing that enables us to step beyond our unbelief in areas into the fullness of what you have for each one. Now I want you to take a minute and just talk to God. Hallelujah. You don't have to end that conversation here. I want you to stand with me, lift your hands before the Lord and say, Lord, I believe. Say it. Lord, I believe. And I'm asking you to help me in any area of unbelief. And we lift our life up to you, Lord. We claim it together in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Your neighbor's hand. Father, I pray for my brother and my sister on my right and left. Lord, we just agree together, two touching anything, it shall be done by our Father which is in heaven. Whatever challenges they're going through, Father, help them, remind them that you, Father, are orchestrating your perfect plan through their lives. Father, I thank you for belief that even is beginning to build in our hearts and our spirits, because you're asking us to believe for some awesome things down the road here. We're trusting you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lift your hands before the Lord. Let your neighbor's hand go. Father, I just release your blessings upon your people. I release health. I release your provision. I release your presence. And I release, Father, the anointing of the Lord. Receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And we claim that together in Jesus' name. And all God's believing people said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Turn around and give somebody a hug. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.